Blog Talk Radio.
NBA basketball fans, yes, the season is over. Cleveland did win the championship in an epic Game 7. Can't wait for next year. The like we talked about on our last podcast, what was that, Monday or Tuesday? Which one was it? Yeah, it was Monday. So we talked about how the league is set up here to make a really nice run, whether it would be a rematch, just a variety of things. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good coming out of it. If you look at the final ratings, it was over 30 million. It peaked at 44 million. So it is the highest rated as far as average, maybe not peak, but the average since Game 7, or I'm sorry, Game 6 of the NBA Finals on Jordan's last season with the Bulls when, you know, they closed that out in style Game 6 there in Utah. That one averaged 35 million and peaked higher. There is another game that peaked higher since then, but the average wasn't as solid throughout. So obviously the NBA is in good shape, great shape. You know, definitely they got a lot of stars. They got some depth underneath it. We'll see if this sophomore rule kicks in, and that will only add to the depth of the league, of the draft, just everything. I really think if they added that waiver system, if you're going to be a top 15 or a lotto pick type deal. But we'll see where that goes. That does seem like it has some steam. Of course, with this new money coming in, basically everybody, not everybody, because there were people, you know, well over the cap. But, you know, you have extra money, clearly. And you're going to see guys like Durant and LeBron. You know, LeBron will probably sign another one-year deal or two-year deal that he can opt out of because the money increases this year, but then it even increases more. I think, like, for example, Durant, I think he can make like 24, 26, or 25 a year, and then a year later he can literally be in the 30s. I remember the last couple of years of Jordan, mid to late 90s, he was making 35 mil a year back then. So it shows you, you know, that they've come back to a very healthy state. I don't think they'll ever, you know, get to the 80s and 90s. That's just tough. But the NBA is in great shape. And so we're here to break down last night's draft. Now, it was full of foreign players as well. We knew that this draft wasn't particularly deep. Once you got out of the first probably 7 to 10, you start to look at potential. Should I get this 18, 19, 20-year-old, or should I go with the 21, 22-year-old who we've seen play and we've seen more out of them? Of course, we've seen probably more weaknesses as well. So the NBA draft, it can be very hit or miss. Even with the NFL, half the first-rounders don't really live up to it or end up in the league 5 years. But when you only have 15 guys on a team and some excess stuff in the D-League, you know, not many guys in the first two rounds or in the first round actually make it 5-6 years down the line. So we're going to start by breaking down the first chunk of the draft. We're not going to go pick by pick and break down every guy because, honestly, we're not over in Europe watching these games. You know what I mean? We're not in Croatia. We're not – it wouldn't be doing our due diligence. So we'll start with what we know as far as the draft. Of course, there was a lot of trades, whether it be inside the draft before picks. We saw that happen. You know, that's kind of a normal thing. Of course, Boston had like 1,700 different picks, so they had to get rid of some, and they added some, and they even got a pick, you know, for 2019, the first round from the Clippers. So it's kind of all over the place, but we will talk trades as well. Obviously, New York made a splash to an extent anyway with Derrick Rose. That's an end of an era there. We'll see, you know, where that goes. Serge Ibaka from Okay, City got moved. That's kind of interesting there, of course, no doubt about it. So there's a lot that took place last night. But let's start at the top. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Marshall, here. And by the way, free agency kicks in July 11th. Of course, a lot of the big names don't sign necessarily right away. They take trips. They kind of mull through their options. So we will be doing a free agent special as well. We'll be doing that. That'll be our last show of the year. But, you know, I wouldn't doubt it would be maybe even the 5th or 6th. Who knows? Because that's going to be the holiday weekend as well, with July 4th on a Monday or something like that too. So I'm not really sure how we're going to do, you know, when we're going to do that. We want some news to happen. We want signings to happen. And obviously when they get announced before, we know that doesn't always happen, as we saw last year with a player going back to the Clippers instead of going DeAndre Jordan did that last year. So you really, really never know all the way. So just a heads up, we will be doing a free agency show as well, because between the trades that are likely to still happen and, of course, the movement, or, you know, maybe a guy like Durant staying home, which a lot of people now, you know, think is a really strong, you know, a very strong possibility because of the youth that is around them and because they went game 7, of course, you know what I mean? So, Marshall, let's get into it, though. Obviously, the top several picks weren't, well, the top two picks weren't a surprise. Then it got a little interesting. It definitely helped out my squad, the Timberwolves. Let's start at the top, though. Ben Simmons is a guy that he's kind of an all – not kind of. He is an all-purpose guy. He is a big guy at 6'4", 240, big shoulders, broad shoulders. So we know he's going to have to work on his, you know, three-point game, no doubt about that. It never may be great. It may just be serviceable. But that really doesn't matter when you look at what this guy can do on the court from a points, rebounds, and assists. And, of course, blocks and steals and all that. He's a very multi, you know, talented guy. He's kind of a point forward in a sense if you look at his numbers and what he can do on a court. Where do you see Simmons in, say, 3 to 5 years, or just, you know, his ceiling, so to speak? And also with Philly, will Philly finally, you know, they've had all this youth, and some of it's, you know, some of it's gotten hurt. They had, you know, a guy like, well, they've had a couple of bigs here get hurt now that I think about it, Noel and Embiid. Both those guys, you know, Noel does look like he can definitely be an NBA player. You know, how high his ceiling, I'm not sure. They were really high, obviously, on Beeb, but we never really know. You know, his freshman year, he got hurt at the end of it. So you got to think that this guy is going to come out and be a good player regardless, maybe even a great player. But in Philly, will they finally get stuff turned around instead of just every couple of years go right back in the rebuild? They've really just never got out of rebuilding mode since, like, maybe like 09, 010, or, you know, 2010, when they actually were in, like, the – I don't know if they made the conference final, but they definitely made the second round a couple of times. Where do you see Ben Simmons in the future, man? Because the guy looks like he's got a lot of the tools to be a very successful NBA player.
I would say that he's got the pieces. I think that he's got some maturing to do. There was the issue with Okafor, who got into a fight last year at a club because some guys were haggling him. And that's obviously not something easy to walk past. And who knows what all was said and if there's some drinks were being had and whatnot. But I don't know. I do see a couple of maybe minor things of, you know, Simmons was hurt over not getting picked for the national team for Olympics, and he didn't go to school and just didn't care about grades. And, he had issues with his coach. And, I mean, these are minor issues. Clearly they don't deteriorate from the skill the kid has, because watching him play last year on the court was just, it was a tremendous watch. He didn't really have a lot of teammates with him, which could have led to some frustration, obviously, that were as skillful as him. So, like, a couple of maybe minor issues of the time to grow up, but clearly anyone can do that too. Like, Jameis Winston now is kind of turning a page in football, so, and he's clearly did a couple more negative things than Simmons. But aside from off the court, the guy's got it all. Like, he's an incredible passer. He kind of reminded me of, like, watching LeBron in college. Like, he passes at a, like, a
LeBron
mental
wasn't
level.
In college, but anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
But at LeBron.
I know
school,
what you're saying. I'm just messing with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sure. He makes passes that I don't think a lot of people in college normally see to make. His IQ of the game is a level above most, and that showed in the SEC. Again, his team wasn't the best, but he carried them too many games and had triple-doubles and made plays where you're like, dude, this kid needs to be in the NBA. You know, I'm happy with the rule of them playing 1 year, but he honestly probably could have skipped it. All the potential in the world's there. I know people say he hasn't developed a jump shot yet and isn't the world's best shooter. Well, that can come with time. I mean, people always reference like the Jason Kidd thing, and I don't even think it's that far of a stretch. But it's like, dude, the kid's only 19. Like, let him develop the jumper. Like, I'm pretty sure that can come when you see the athletic freakish talent he has. I'm sure if you put that motivation effort towards developing a jumper, I don't see why that wouldn't come out. I mean, LeBron didn't even have the best shot in the world. So I think all the talent in the world is there for him. For his team himself, then that's kind of a whole different debacle, Chris. I mean, you know, you mentioned how they're always kind of in rebuild mode. Well, that was kind of the five-year plan, and now we're coming to the end of the five-year plan. And now you have Simmons, who appears to be loaded with talent, but then you got like three bigs. So who are you going to trade out of those bigs? Like, that's still kind of up in the air. I think some people thought possibly Okafor could have been traded before the draft or during it last night, because you can't have Okafor and Bede and Noel all on the court. I mean, it'd be nice to rotate three true bigs in basketball, but it doesn't really work that way. You're overpaying those people, so. Are they maybe going to make a right decision this time? You know, they got a new GM now after the guy quit. So I think he's going to offer them talent. From a team perspective, I think that's kind of a blessing in the sky. That is going to be someone that's going to make the fans come to the game. I've always kind of wondered, if you're a 76ers fan, even if you're a diehard and your dad and grandpa were, like, would you really want to go to the games the last couple of years? Well, I mean, the team's kind of tanking in a way, so it'd be hard to go. Ben Simmons is a draw to make you want to go to a game. Like, he's going to be the new flashy kid, and everyone in junior high is going to want to wear his jersey, and it's the popular name, and he can kind of become a popular star around town. But, you know, for the teams, like, Ben Simmons isn't quite the LeBron level, though. I see pieces of him, but he's also not going to will a team who had a garbage year last year to be something better. So, I think him as a player, Chris, is going to be a hell of a player. Like I said, he's a five-tool guy that I've seen in my probably 15 years of watching college basketball. The dude's special. The kid's a freak. But you do need to be surrounded by talent. That's something that's evaded them. You know, all their bigs seem to get hurt. And Okafor last year could score lights out when he wanted to for a freshman, but his defense was garbage. So he's walking into a tough situation. And hopefully, if you're a Philly fan, the front office makes good choices and something can continue to build, because you can't spin the notion now of, oh, we're still going to rebuild and we have Ben Simmons and Embiid is clearly healthy now. Like, hopefully things are looking up. So, in a very long answer, which I thought I did pretty well without stumbling too much, I like the pick. The kid's good, but you're still rolling the dice on the team, because who the hell knows? There's too many questions and there's been too much insecurity or correct calls or whatever to predict the team will be better. But you're in the East, and hopefully this is a step in the right direction and they can move on from the point of we're still kind of just treading water. So we'll see.
Well, I think a guy like this, because he's really kind of the point forward type player, I think he actually does make the team better. He doesn't need to be fed the ball in the post, or you know what I mean? So I actually do think he makes the team better, because that's exactly what type of player he is. He's a team player. He doesn't take a, you know, 24 shots a game or nothing like that, or even 19, you know what I mean? In fact, sometimes they wanted him to take more bad shots, if that makes sense. And so to me, I think he can make that team better, because he's a playmaker. He's a natural playmaker. I think Okaford is – I wouldn't call Okaford garbage on defense. That's not his strength, but I wouldn't call him guard. I mean, you like Boogie, so I don't even want to hear about that. Come on now. I know this guy's a dookie, so you're going to go a little harder on him. You're talking about Boogie Cousins like he's the most dominant dude from Shaq, you know, since Shaq is a big man. But he, you know, he doesn't – that's good. You want to see some garbage D? Go ahead and head down to Sacramento. But you know what, though? Who knows if he's going to be there? And we talk about – you know, the bigs, you made a great point. They can't all be on the court. And, you know, with three guys that play very similar, and obviously will Simmons for sure be able to play the small forward? I think he can. But then again, if his outside shot struggles for a while, because the one thing about his outside shot and his body frame is, of course, you can work on him all day. Shaquille O'Neal and a bunch of these centers, you know, when they're in practice, they shoot like 7 of 10, 8 of 10 consistently. But that's in practice. That's sitting in one spot for all those shots in a row. That's a much easier to get in a rhythm, you know, a game completely different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do think he's going to have an issue in the way that LeBron does with the three-pointer because of those broad shoulders. I mean, it's not all about just practice when it comes to shooting. And you can see it in free throws over and over and over again. These guys with these big shoulders, and then you can see bigs that are thinner and not quite as husky. And those are the guys that can give you 70, 75, 80% and improve or be at least, you know, serviceable on the line and not hack a Shaq type stuff, hack a Jordan type stuff.
Yeah.
So, I do think that I'm not quite sure if he'll ever get the three all the way down, but he is 6'10 and 240. You know, that's as long as he keeps his weight under control, which it does seem like he's not like, you know, he seems to be, you know, really good shape. So, but I do think he can make a difference that way. I really do. Just because he's a playmaker. He does get his, you know, his team involved. And so, but yeah, like you said, I mean, where is it really going to go? What's the, you know, the top for that team? Can they add 10 wins from last year? You know, can they add 15 wins? Can they get, you know, when are they going to get the 30 and 35 wins? You know, I mean,
yeah.
it's an uphill battle, no doubt about it. We'll see. But I think they made the right choice, though. I really do. I think some of these guards maybe you could have went with, but they obviously didn't need more power forwards and centers. You know what I mean? So I think this just screamed number one pick really since like mid-year pretty easily, I'd say. And this is where the draft gets interesting, because and that's where we're at in some of these draft years, because of how thin the draft can be. You get to the point where the potential is here, or a good solid role player, like what Buddy Hield could be, you know, a spot up shooter, a guy that can dribble. Maybe he'll be a 20 point guy and make an all-star game. Maybe he'll just be a really solid role player to a team. It'll be interesting to see in a lot of these guys. Now, obviously, the Lakers got a new coach that comes from the Golden State. You know, he comes from that pedigree. And, you know, Phil Jackson around as well. He played for the Lakers championship, you know, teams for years. Second pick, Brandon Ingram. And now these two top picks were pretty much – I mean, they've been pretty much in stone for a while. I know a lot of people were in and out and that and this, but really the top two picks have been known for quite some time. Yeah. I know we differ on Ingram. I think the potential is there in the system that they're going to run, that's for sure. And also, you know, at a buck 95, he definitely needs to put on a good 10, 15 just to be able to rebound well. Sometimes a skinny guy can be strong. You just don't necessarily see it. But either way, the guy's going to have to put on weight, no doubt about it. But as a shooter, what was he, a 40, 41, 42%, something like that. He can definitely shoot the three. He can get off the dribble. Really, with him, it's really body. He's a late bloomer, not in height, but in weight, no doubt about it. He kind of reminds me of, as far as body type, a KG or a Durant or even a, you know, Zach, where these guys are thin, dude. You're like, oh, my goodness, you are really thin. And he's I mean, this guy, like I said, under 200 pounds, that's pretty amazing for 6'9". Now, I know he's a Dookie, and we always got to bring that up because you'll say it if I don't. And I know you're not that high on this guy. Where do you see him fit? Does a possible small lineup, you know, many people on the court, shooting the three-type deal? You know, they're going to have a new system now. We'll see. The thing with the Lakers is they're free agency. They have a ton of money, so it's really hard to judge the Lakers right now on a couple of these teams that are really have a ton of money. Like I said, most people have, or most teams have the potential to sign a $15 to $20 million guy with the extra money. But some teams, because they already had cap money under the old cap, have a whole lot to spend. Will they do it all in one off season? I don't know. That'll be interesting. But the Lakers, as far as judging them, it's going to be tough until after we see some movement in free agency. But overall, what do you think of Ingram?
Okay, so I'll give my Carolina perspective, and I'll give my kind of NBA future. I'm tough on him because in the two games he played against Carolina, play well. He shot 30%. And against your rivals, you know, you're kind of expected to have a bigger game because he was a huge piece of that team. And in their final game of the year, he had a bad game. And now that's nitpicking, but in big games, from what I saw, mostly he didn't play that well. Now, what my Duke friend told me was throughout the year, he had a pretty damn good season. So I'm being somewhat tight-casted on the fact I'm only kind of picking at his huge games, which to me is a little bit of concern. And his defenses, you know, I think I'm with you. I think he's kind of building into his body. His defense was okay. His rebounding is okay. I saw moments of him where he can shoot a really hot three. The potential's there. So,
it's more than moments because he averaged 42% from three. So it's more than moments. Let's be honest with that one.
He did. It's just the games when I watched him mainly, he didn't shoot that well. So, from an overall perspective, your numbers you're saying are right. I just watched him play from pretty poor moments where I'm like, is the hype really going to be there, you know? He's got all the talent in the world. Obviously, he needs to put on muscle. As you said, you're going to get pushed around. Like, you know, the dude's not going to be a guard. You're going to have to bulk up a little bit, even with the NBA becoming more of a stretch game. I don't know. I think the tools are there. I just think he needs to kind of beef up a little bit, as you said, just to add some muscle on. Because if you're going to drive into the lane, you're going to need to – you got to bulk up a lot. I'm repeating myself. But I think he needs to develop a little more of an overall game. And I'll say this, and this will be my point, then we can move on to kind of with my Lakers. But in college, he was quick enough to kind of drive by people and get into the lane. But it wasn't like a fluid motion, in my opinion. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that in the pros. So I think he's going to maybe just need to kind of well-tune a couple more things. So there's stuff there, Chris, and I know I'm speaking of the Dookie, but I see skill there. But I think he's going to have to add a couple of more pieces because I didn't think that his dribbling was that smooth in college. I just think he was that much of a freak that he could get by people in the ACC. That isn't necessarily going to happen in the NBA. So kind of want to see how he turns out. I was still more skeptical on D'Angelo Russell than I am him. I'm not going to say Ingram's going to be a bust like I did say about Russell last year, but let's just see him maybe develop a little more of a, you know, defensive game, and let's see him maybe develop a little more of an off-the-ball game, because, like I said, I just don't think that with his frame and skill set, he can necessarily drive off the ball in the NBA, which he did at Duke. So see how it plays out. For the Lakers themselves, I mean, I think you're kind of in a weird situation because you kind of want to get DeRozan. If Durant leaves, you're going to want to get Westbrook. Right now you have Jordan Clarkson, who's probably a more well-rounded player than D'Angelo Russell. Like, there's a lot of pieces. You got Julius Randle. Now you got frickin' Ingram. You're getting a lot. So how that team's going to turn out, who knows? And you got a new coach, like you said, coming in, Luke Walton, leaving the Warriors now, coach them. I would say there's optimism. You know, a couple of my good friends are Laker fans. I mean, things are looking up. As you mentioned, you're in L.A. You're probably going to land a big-name free agent or two. Get Kobe's off the books. You got money to spend. I would say they're just as unpredictable as the 76ers. I would say the talent from the core and the L.A. theme around there gives them a chance to be a better team in the win column. But when you got so many pieces you're trying to form, I would say that the future is promising. And if you do land a guy like DeRozan, who easily could land to L.A. because he opted out of Toronto, then you're kind of molding stuff together. I just think they're in the building process. But for just work on a little more things, and then he will probably be a pretty darn good player. And it's tough for me to say that, being a Carolina fan and seeing him underperform against my team. But overall, there were some games where he'd bust a three, and I'm like, geez, you know, that normally guys in that frame don't do that. So, yeah, that's it.
Well, one of the games at North Carolina, he had 20 and 10. So the shooting was off that night, but I wouldn't call that a bad game. And rebounding-wise, for his size, I thought he did pretty well for his size anyway. Also, he's got long-ass strides, so it does look like he's moving slower. I think what you talked about as far as last year's second pick, I think he definitely rates higher than that. And let's not do too much deep into the actual team, because we got to keep this puppy moving here.
Sure.
Because we got to get the trades and everything like that. Here's where the surprise came. We heard about some power forwards, one from Croatia and one from Cal, that were going to be in the top seven. That's what it looked like. Both of those guys, the Celtics got Jaylen Brown and then Dragon Bender, went to who they say he's only 18. He's definitely got, you know, a lot of development to do. But when you're playing for the pros over there, that's basically all you're doing. You're not doing schoolwork like you were. Like Ricky Rubio was playing as a 16-year-old as a professional, same with this guy. So he did get a chance to hone in on his skill and not have to actually do the other work that the guys here have to do, where they literally turn you pro. You may live in like a dorm-type, you know, apartment, but you're practicing like four times a week. You have two games a week. It's a really good developmental cycle. So maybe he can come in even at 18 and do something. We'll see. You know, we'll see. But Jaylen Brown, who is a guy that kept rising, and same with this guy, the two bigs, power forwards basically, although, you know, Bender can, I believe, hit a three. So who knows exactly where they're going to put him, if it's center, power forward, more than likely power forward. They jumped in, and for me, Marshall, that surprised me, because I was like, I figured one of them would go, but I didn't know two would go, and that really opened up some teams for Dunn, Hield, and Murray. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm very happy with my Timberwolves getting Dunn. What do you think about, really, from 3 to 7, let's say, and fits and just players? Like Brown, I saw here and there. I did a little bit more research. He does seem to be the real deal. I can't tell you about Dragon Bender beyond the pros talking about him, the professional scouts and guys on ESPN. And they say this guy, you know, is the real deal. He can shoot. He can ball handle. He can do a lot. They say he can do a lot. I'm very happy with Chris Dunn here. I like that piece, even if it did sound like he was going to be a piece into a a trade potential, but I really like Chris Dunn. You know, Martin was a casualty last year once we started seeing what our season was going to be. So no matter what, off the bench or starting, or no matter what happens with the team, you know, because there is some speculation for trades, I'm really happy with Chris Dunn. I think he's just a solid guard, whether he comes off the bench, whether he puts pressure on Rubio in a couple years, because Rubio has talked about how, you know, in another year, if we're still not making the playoffs, I may want to move someplace. Buddy Hield goes to Oklahoma. They definitely need some outside shooting. I think Aaron Gordon, I believe he's going to be gone, or is he already gone? I can't remember if, because I'm pretty sure he's going to go. And then Murray went to Denver, and Denver didn't make the playoffs last year. Maybe they're a team that can kind of bounce back. There are a couple teams like that where you go, you know, maybe they can bounce back and get back into that hunt. Also, a guy that we talked about, Sabonis. We talked about him on the college, you know, basketball show a lot. He went to the Thunder. I think that was a good pick. What do you think of, you know, even whatever, 4-12? Let's just start getting kind of deeper into this, and then we'll talk trades, and then we'll get out of here.
I'd like to, like, add a lot of analysis, but it's so hard to talk about all these guys because, you know, I probably watched as much college basketball this past year as I have in my entire life, at least for quite a while. And I still feel it's hard to maybe talk about more than, like, a handful of guys for, like, how they get viewed in the NBA. You know, so, I mean, I have thoughts, obviously, but, like, this ESPN stuff I've seen this week of, like, well, Jamal Murray's got a 75% chance of being a NBA potential all-star 5 years into the league. Like, the numbers they're spouting out, I'm like, dude, it's like you're grasping at straws to predict the future. I just don't quite get it. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of hype, and I enjoy we're doing our show here, which I think is fun, but, like, I think a lot of these people nowadays and basketball fans think it's so cool to be like, well, this was a bad pick, and this was a bad pick, and this foreign guy is a stud, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I just think you just kind of comment on each guy and just kind of look at the NBA team as joining more than his skill set. Like, I think, you know, that I think Buddy Hield, from what I saw, the dude was a great player in Oklahoma. He stepped up for a team when needed it. He's going to a team that needs some help. Like, that's a good pick. You know, the Bender thing, I'm with you. I really don't know what to say. He's a Croatian guy that, as you mentioned, has been schooled and well-versed probably. But, like, Chris Dunn, like, people seem to be happy with him for the Wolves, but I only watched, like, one Providence game, you know. So I think he fills a need for your team. I think that's a positive.
Yeah, but he's been a stud the last 2 years. So I've watched him a fair amount because Providence was good 2 years ago.
Well, that's fair. And for you to say that, Chris, then I agree with that 100%. I will back your opinion. Me, on the other hand, though, I didn't really see Dunn play much, you know. So it's hard to say. I think that I did watch the Nuggets a decent amount last year. I think the Murray pick is nice. I thought last year Denver has a lot of young, talented people, especially a lot of young, talented bigs. So to add a guard in Murray, I thought was a nice pick. Again, based off my NBA prognosis, I thought that Ulis kind of stole the show more when every time I watched Kentucky last year. Now, clearly he was drafted much later. And Murray went much, much higher. So, again, Murray must have a much higher plateau ceiling. And that's the part that does kind of get me a little bit. It's like when you watch these guys in college and we do our college ball show, it's thinking, okay, what is he doing for his team? Like, how has he played? How has he performed? And then I think what my main point is, Chris, is I have a tough time kind of transforming of, okay, this guy's done so much for his college. How do I judge him now? I think I must kind of miss that step as to how these NBA analyst people view them as prospects. Because to me, Ulis was the stud of Kentucky. And if people are like, dude, he's not even going to be like a top 20 pick, I was like, are you nuts? Like, the guy was great. So I think it's kind of that step I miss in, like, okay, well, how do you view them in college to how they're going to turn the NBA is a different ballgame sometimes. So that's why maybe I kind of have issues with trying to make predictions because it's a different mindset.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to make predictions. I mean, there's a lot of these guys we never even know. Just if something stands out, you know something about, you can add in, much like you did with Buddy. And I think you're right there with Ulysses as well. And I think that's an NFL combine casualty. The 5'9". You see the guy walk in, you go, he's 5'9", dude. He's a little dude. I think that's why he dropped. But that doesn't mean he won't be a good player.
Yeah. I guess one take is, I know the Suns are super happy. I know they got bigs that they wanted. In Bender and they had another foreign gentleman. I know that's kind of a hot take I'm going with. You know, the Suns got Bender and
they got Washington, Marquise, I forgot his last name, but a dude from Washington, a power forward is what they got too.
They got two bigs. So like that's something where, just from a simple standpoint, I'm thinking, okay, the Suns seem to have guards every year. Well, whoever it is, they'll rotate three or four of them new guards in. Damn, you got bigs. You can add them on to Alex Lynn now. That's cool. Here's a point I can make. The Kings. the beloved Sacramento Kings and Boogie Cousins. They drafted a bunch of bigs. I think that might be a little foreshadowing of, okay,
yeah,
we don't think Boogie's going to be here maybe at the end of this year and next. Let's get some people. And so, of course, Boogie tweeted, like, you know, pretty much like, help me God get through this season. So if there was one team I can strictly comment on with knowledge of college and pro, the fact that the Kings drafted a lot of bigs is a sign, and it says, hey, Boogie Cousins. Yeah, we're going to get some replacements for you. That'll be a fun year again. Here's the take I got, Chris, finally. For my 2 cents, from what I saw in college, how it translates in pros, I really think that Torian Prince is going to be a super nice fit in the NBA. In Baylor, I felt that he kind of tried to play on his own because he was a super athletic freak. And I probably watched him probably a handful of games because you and I were pretty big into watching Big 12 this year. I think if you put him on the right NBA team, and I believe he's on the Hawks. I believe he got traded, but I'm pretty sure Torian Prince is going to be a Hawk. That's a super nice pickup to me. For Marshall Orta's mock draft board, you have a dude that can jump out of the gym. He can run up and down the court faster than most. He's 6'10". He can shoot a three. To me, that's a steal. Maybe an NBA expert on ESPN will say, oh, he's missing this part of his game or blah, blah, blah. I thought Torian Prince was a very nice pickup because it's hard to find much more athletic pieces than what you have in him. And if you can find a coach that can kind of transform into becoming maybe a more well-rounded, tooled player with his crazy athleticism, that's a steal to me. That was a pick where I saw, I was like, damn, that's a nice choice. Like, that's a thumbs up in my book to have a guy like Torian Prince, because his skill set, I don't think he can match with other people. Obviously, a guy like Ben Simmons is more gifted and talented, But Torian Prince could probably out-jump him in a gym. So that was a cool piece. I kind of want to see how he develops. If you can take his raw skill to transform him into a nice piece, because that's a piece that not every team in the NBA has.
And let me put a bow on the rest of the, you know, some that stand out. We know that Biombo might price himself out because of what he did in the playoffs. So Toronto went and got that Utah center, which I think that might be interesting. Like we already said, Sabanos is a guy that has really been pretty solid and probably would fit into the NBA and be a good role player for Oklahoma City. I think that's pretty interesting. A guy that is well documented, Denzel Valentine, he goes to Chicago. Henry Ellison, who comes from Wisconsin, he came out of Marquette. He's a pretty solid player. We'll see if Drummond, you know, hangs around the Pistons there. That's pretty good there. Also, there's one more I wanted to talk about before we move to some trades. There's one more that kind of stood out. I think it was more of a second round, but when we come to these, it was, like I said, Boston had so many damn picks that there's a lot of just picks that we're not going to go over, or trades that we're not going to go over, because it really doesn't matter. But I think one that stands out here, obviously the Derrick Rose, which I think Chicago had to get rid of, and you know, I understand both sides there. I think it's just like, why not? You know, Rose still has something going on. He can still be effective. He's not going to ever probably be, you know, he's never going to be what he was. Who knows if he comes back up, though? Obviously, the injury. I think that, you know, they had to move on. It sucks, you know, him being there and from there and all that. It's got to be rough for the city. But I think it was a must. Here's one that stands out for me, though. Ibaka goes to Orlando, and the Thunder, who, like I said, got Sabonis in the draft as well, they got Oladipo as a guard. They got a couple other guards or a forward as well. But Oladipo is probably the key there, obviously, with the 11th pick, like I said, Sabonis too. I think that's a trade that could, you know, be pretty damn interesting. And I think that I wouldn't have thought that they were going to move Ibaka, but I suppose they do have some more bigs. They did get a big to replace him, and here's a guy that is pretty fundamental as well. I also think that Memphis getting Deontay Davis, he really started coming on for Michigan State. He's thin. He's wiry. I do think he's going to have to put on some weight. Don't get me wrong. But I think that stood out. And also Thaddeus Young, a guy who is just a solid guy. He seems to get traded a fair amount. The Pacers, who did a lot of movement, they got Jeff Teague from Atlanta, which I think that's a nice fit for them. And then they also got Young. For a guy like LeVert, who's definitely a prospect guy, just to kind of talk about some of the trades, of course, Robin Lopez, Keldron, and Grant is what Chicago got back for that Derrick Rose. What do you think of some of these trades? Ibaka surprises me, but then they got to think to the future as well, and they do have a really young kid at that, you know, center position as well. And also, you know, with these small lineups, having two bigs like that where you're going to have to pay the other one soon too, I don't know. That kind of surprised me, but I also see, okay, I can understand that too, because you do have, if you're going to keep them anyway, Durant, you know, in this day and age, especially who they got to go through, right, in the West, he plays a fair amount of power forward, or at least will. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of interesting to me. They also made a trade for a guard that will help him. I just can't remember who the hell it was. What do you think of some of these trades that went down, man?
I'm a little surprised that Orlando got rid of Oladipo. I mean, we talked about, like, freakish skill that I mentioned in Torian Prince. I think that Oladipo is showing signs of that since he's been with the Magic. I know that I believe the last coach, Skiles, was having trouble kind of deciding, you know, should Elfrid Payton be a true point guard and kind of what he wants to do with Oladipo and whatnot. But considering they have a new coach coming in, I'm surprised to let him go. I think that the first thing I instantly thought when Ibaka left and they brought in Oladipo was, bam. You sub in Oladipo for Andre Robertson, and that's huge. Because we talked about how, you know, people kind of like push him to the side because they can't quite trust him to score. If you don't want to guard Oladipo, he will posterize your ass, and he'll do it every time. So I think that's a great trade if you're Oklahoma City. I don't know if that's enough to maybe convince Durant to maybe not pursue Golden State or look at other options, but to me that's a downgrade for the Magic and an upgrade for Oklahoma City. Because you just add more athleticism to a team that's already freakishly athletic with the development that Steve Adams made. Now you have Oladipo. I thought that was a marvelous trade for them. And I thought that the Hawks had to do something. Last year you mentioned T going to the Pacers, which is a nice trade for them. I also think that benefits the Hawks because you were stuck in a position of, well, Dennis Schroeder might be a potentially better player than Teagan. He's younger. And you were stuck. Well, we got to bring Schroeder off the bench. What if he stays hot? Do we bring back in Teague? And you're in a rare circumstance where an NBA team has two talented point guards that you can't play together at the same time. So that was a beneficial move for both sides of the world. And now you allow Schroeder to be your starting point guard. And clearly Atlanta still has potential. They kind of had a little rough way for the season to end, but I wouldn't say they're going away anytime soon either. So Yeah, I thought those deals were good. The Derrick Rose trade, the talent's there.
I think Chicago
had to get rid of him,
you know.
Yeah, you had to. Well, speaking of trying to find identity, you know, I listened to Jimmy Butler on his podcast with Bill Simmons, and he's like, well, you know, we got pieces here, but we have a coach that wants us to transition from a defensive-oriented team to a team that likes to shoot threes. So I think it was a little bit rough last year, and we'll see how this year goes. They're kind of in a moving situation, too, with Butler and Noah and Gasol, like kind of how are things going to play out. So I think there's maybe one step in the right direction to maybe get rid of Rose. Just because, I mean, maybe give the guy a new start. He's tried so many times, had so many injuries, that it was just kind of a debacle that wasn't quite meant to be, even though he was a Chicago kid. So I think that was kind of just a good decision. Now, the Bulls still clearly have too many bigs, but, you know, maybe you have a future and you can start to look for a new point guard to develop your future. So, yeah, dude, I was just really shocked with the Ibaka to Magic. I guess clearly people know more than we do, Chris, but I thought that Oladipo pickup was sweet. Clearly nothing's been signed and linked up, and again, Durant could go anywhere, but I thought that was a move in the right direction. So, yeah.
If he is gone, then at least you got another scorer, you know what I mean, on that guard, and I think it does help because they obviously, like you said, they have two bigs, and it's 23 and 24 years old, you know what I mean? So Ibaka, sure, he wasn't super old, but there had to be a man out. You couldn't have Cantor, what's-his-toes, and Ibaka. I mean, I think that, you know, I do. I agree. I think that's a great, great – and like I said, the small lineup, I think that helps it too. You know, I think that helps it too. I'm kind of impressed, and maybe for sure they'll start him. We don't know. You know, maybe he will come off the bench. You never know. Maybe they'll be happy with that defensive lineup, and he'll be a spark off the bench, or they'll start a small lineup, or, like you said, they'll just put him right in. It'll be interesting to see, and like you said, he's very explosive, very, you know, in on you on defense, that's for sure, and that'll go a long way as well. I just have a feeling that Durant's going to stay, but that's for another show, no doubt about it.
Sure. You know, I will say, you asked me about the people in the draft from 5 to 12, and I was kind of like, well, I can offer some insight from the guys I know, and I can't really say much about the others. It is kind of funny because the final, like, 10 picks in the draft, just for my quick cardio, that's happened. My boy Marcus Page got drafted, so great for him. And then Abdul Nader and Georges Niang from Iowa State got drafted. So the boys I supported weren't exactly top lottery picks, but like the final couple of draft picks, I was like, oh, I know him. I know him. That's cool. I'm happy he got drafted because Marcus Page had a pretty rough year. So props to him. Clearly in the second round, if you don't know basketball or if you're new to it, you're not guaranteed a contract compared to where you are in the first. So clearly if you're a rookie, being drafted in the first round is a huge thumbs up compared to second, but still, you're given a chance. Also, Isaiah Cousins from Oklahoma got drafted second to last pick. And actually, speaking of height, Chris, one last thing to wrap up the tail end of the draft was Kay Felder is now for Cleveland. And he was for Oakland last year. He basically led the country in scoring in college basketball, but the dude's kind of like short, 5'9", 5'10", but he got drafted. So goes to show where, you know, a guy like Ulis or Felder, they don't got the build, but if you're a freakishly fast point guard that can score, you're at least going to get a chance. So I was very happy with the last 10 picks in the draft that some of the guys I cheer for got drafted, because for those teams, you know, that was just kind of a cool thing for guys I know and can break down. My 50 to 60 pick breakdowns much more intelligent than my 7 to 12.
And that's how it goes, man. I mean, that's the NBA draft. Welcome to the draft, because the older guys that have been around, they go later, you know, so that makes perfect sense that we'd know more of those guys. Even in the second round, you could probably, you know, name just as many. Is there any overall points you want to touch on before we get out of here? Once again, I want to remind everybody, our last show before the college football season kicks in, we go into a, you know, a bit of a hiatus for about 7 weeks or something like that, give or take. Our very last show will be the free agency show. We can't tell you exactly when it's going to be because, you know, sometimes it takes a good 3 to 4 days for the deals actually to get done. So just look out for that, the free agency show, to wrap up a nice little bow on the NBA season. You got any last words before we get out of here, buddy?
I do got kind of one just fun debate question. Maybe this is nuts, maybe it's not. The knock on, like, and this will come around full circle. The knock on baseball and hockey is they don't do a good enough job promoting. And hockey has a lot of foreign players. Maybe their English isn't as well. You can't see a face on the mask. Baseball really doesn't endorse people as much besides maybe a guy like Harper and Trout. Do you think it's just kind of weird that it seems like almost half of the NBA draft this year was foreign players, and nothing against that at all? I mean, if you see the talent there, you're going to go for it. Do you think that's something the NBA has got to worry about in the sense of marketing because they've been doing such a great job lately? Or do you just kind of ride the coattails on guys who are incredible, like LeBron, assuming there's only guys, always going to be a next one for the promoting? But it just kind of sent me a red flag of, like, how do you promote all these foreign players with as good of a job as the NBA does? Now, I know you're never going to lack superstars from our country, but it's just kind of like, huh, I wonder if this could be maybe a different element that the NBA PR wants to pursue, or do these teams try to find a way to maybe sponsor these players more? Because, like, for Ben Simmons to Philly, bam, that's an awesome pick. Kids are going to buy his jerseys. This is something cool. If you're drafting guys from Croatia, sure, they probably make your team a lot better, but it's really hard to promote people who aren't from this country, maybe don't speak English. Is that a future problem the NBA should worry about, or a team should worry about? And how do you maybe go around promoting that situation? Because other sports have struggled with it, and I can see this being a minor problem for the NBA too.
I mean, hockey is a different – it's totally different. You know what I mean? And even if you look at its peak time, it never got that high anyway. So that's a little different. Baseball, I thought, they're doing pretty good when you look at the contract. So I don't think they're having too much of a problem. I mean, Big Poppy is known like crazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's a problem. And it just happens to be this year that there's so many of them. But we've had other years where – in the top 10, there's some guys you're like, I don't have a clue who he is, and some of them turn out, some of them don't. I don't think it's a big worry, to be honest with you, because a lot of these guys, one, have embraced, and two, like you said, it's just basically kind of like a down year, whereas you can look at last year and see several American players that are going to be really good players, and I'm not just talking about the top three in the draft, you know what I mean? So sure. I don't think it's an issue, and also advertising – advertising has to do with, I know it sounds basic, but the actual commercials. You know, I think NBA kicks everybody's ass in commercials personally, whether it be for the NBA or around the NBA. I think they do a very good job at marketing their sport. But I don't see that as a big worry because it's growing. Croatia, you know, it's kind of like Puerto Rico in boxing right now all of a sudden. I mean, it's a small country, but they just got like five dudes in the draft, you know. So I really think that just that foreign market that the NFL actually wants to get into, well, the NBA's been it for years, and all you have to do is go to China. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is huge in China. We just found that out because he went there recently. So I don't think there's a problem with that at all.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering about that. That was just kind of something that struck me in my mind because, like you said, other sports have had problems. The NBA has done phenomenal. The way they promote, I'm with you, the NBA play or the way they always advertise their players, they need to do a great job, but maybe this could be a minor issue. I guess only time will tell. There's big names. We got, you know, as you mentioned, Durant, got Dwight Howard, got DeRozan. Like they always say, Chris, it takes the first guy to move, and then all the other dominoes fall. I think this year could be, okay, what's the Durant move doing? And then, bam, let's go. And that'll be a very fun show. Because then you're back to, okay, well, let's look at the future and who's doing what. And, you know, apparently the Warriors want Dirk too. So we'll see. It'll be fun. And I was looking at planning out a trip because I'm moving down to Dallas here soon, and a friend wants to come maybe join me for the Alabama-USC football. And that's only a couple months away. So if you want a little break from Chris and Marshall, that's okay, because you can take a little rest. We'll be right back talking sports here again soon. Have a good week. Enjoy the nice hot weather across this country. We will have our NBA free agency show coming up soon. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.